Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The transcendentalists desire to avoid everything godless, for they know that supreme situation in which everything is related with the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Therefore, a pure devotee who is in absolute harmony with the Lord does not create perplexities, but worships the lotus feet of the Lord at every moment, taking them into his heart. Purport by His Divine Grace. In the Bhagavad Gita, Madham, my abode, is mentioned several times. And according to the version of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, there exists the unlimited spiritual sky, wherein the planets are called Vaikunthas, or the abode of the Personality of Godhead. In that sky, which is far, far beyond the material sky, and its sevenfold coverings, thank you, there is no need of the sun or the moon, nor is there necessity of electricity for illumination, because the planets are self-illuminating and more brilliant than the material suns. Pure devotees of the Lord are absolutely in harmony with the Personality of Godhead, or in other words, they always think of the Lord as their only dependable friend and well-wisher. They do not care for any mundane creature up to the status of Brahma, the Lord of the universe. Only they can definitely have a clear vision of the Vaikuntha planets. Such pure devotees, being perfectly directed by the Supreme Lord, do not create any artificial perplexity in the matter of transcendental understanding by wasting time in discussing what is Brahman and what is non-Brahman, or Maya. Nor do they falsely think of themselves as one with the Lord, or argue that there is no existence of the Lord separately, or that there is no God at all, or that the living beings are themselves God, or that when God incarnates himself, he assumes a material body. So that was a few things there. Nor do they concern themselves with many obscure speculative theories, which are in actuality so many stumbling blocks on the path of transcendental understanding. Apart from the class of impersonalists or non-devotees, there are also classes who pose themselves as devotees of the Lord, but at heart maintain the idea of salvation by becoming one with the impersonal Brahman. They wrongly manufacture their own way of devotional service by open debauchery and mislead others who are simpletons or debauchees like themselves. All these non-devotees and debauchees are, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti, duratmas, or crooked souls in the dress of mahatmas, or great souls. Such non-devotees and debauchees are completely excluded from the list of transcendentalists by the presentation of this particular verse by Shukadeva Goswami. So the Vaikuntha planets are factually the supreme residential places called the Parampadam. The impersonal Brahmajyoti is also called Parampadam due to its being the rays of the Vaikuntha planets, as the sun rays are the rays of the sun. In the Bhagavad Gita 14.27, it is clearly stated that the impersonal Brahmajyoti rests on the person of the Lord, and because everything rests on the Brahmajyoti directly and indirectly, everything is generated from the Lord, everything rests on him, and after annihilation, everything is merged in him only. Therefore, nothing is independent of him. A pure devotee of the Lord no longer wastes valuable time in discriminating the Brahman from the non-Brahman, because he knows perfectly well that the Lord Parabrahman, by his Brahman energy, is interwoven in everything, and thus everything is looked upon by a devotee as the property of the Lord. The devotee tries to engage everything in his service and does not create perplexities by falsely lording it over the creation of the Lord. He is so faithful that he engages himself, as well as everything else, in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In everything, the devotee sees the Lord, and he sees everything in the Lord. The specific disturbance created by a duratma, or crooked soul, is due to his maintaining that the transcendental form of the Lord is something material. Hare Krishna. Oma Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksasun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Now, there's a lot of points in this verse. We won't be able to talk about all of the points in the purport and verse, but we'll try some of them. Parampadam Vaishnavan Vaishnavam Amananti Tad Yaneti Netiti Atad Utsisrikchava Vishridzoramyam Ananya Sorida Ididopagu Yaha Padampade Pade. We should always remember that Srimad Bhagavatam is written by Vyasadeva. He wrote all the Vedas, and the last thing he wrote was Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the mature fruit of his realization, and it is the commentary on his commentary on all the Vedas. So when he finishes the Vedas, he writes all the Karma Kanda and Upasana Kanda and Jnana Kanda and the different chandogyas, the hymns and the mantras, and they're all spread all over the universe. And then at the very end, he writes Vedanta Sutra. And Vedanta Sutra is a highly philosophical, indirect explanation of what is the absolute truth. I spoke to one Maharaj in Mayapur. Now they're teaching Vedanta Sutra in Mayapur as one of the courses. It's a 4-year course. And for the first year, they don't even look at the Vedanta Sutra. For the first year, all they discuss is philosophy, because in order to understand these higher philosophical concepts, you have to study all this philosophy just to be able to understand the obscurity and the language and the grammar and the multiple meanings. And it's very, very complex and difficult. And I was just thinking about that in relation to Srimad Bhagavatam. Like, for example, in Shankaracharya, who is came in the 10th century, at that time, the whole of India was covered in Buddhism. Not covered, well, in one sense it was covered. There was a one Chandragupta Maharaj, he became a Buddhist. He was the emperor of the whole of India. And with his money and wealth, he spread Buddhism all over India. And in order, one of the reasons that Shankaracharya came to preach, he preached actually the same Buddhist philosophy. Buddhism was originally part of Hindu culture. They were Hindus. They were called the Buddhists of Sadanasi. So it was part of Hinduism, Buddhism was. Prabhupada explains this. And then Shankaracharya came and he created this Vedic Buddhism, same philosophy but supported by the Vedas. Because Shankaracharya had, Lord Buddha had rejected the Vedas. So the whole of India was becoming non-Vedic. This was a problem. So one of the reasons that Shankaracharya came, under the direct order of the Supreme Lord, was to preach the same impersonalist, atheistic, non-personality of Godhead, like it says here, with the support of the Vedas. So he took the same Vedanta Sutra, and using that, he supported this atheism, undevotional philosophy. That was one of the reasons. There's multiple reasons. So I think when we're born in this world, in this time of Kali Yuga, we can't underestimate how Shankaracharya's teachings have spread all over the world. The first Indian sannyasis to come to the West was Vivekananda, right? Ramakrishna's sister. And Prabhupada says that the Christians, you know, they came in good faith to hear his lecture. He gave some lectures in America. And they came thinking, yeah, let's learn about the devotional philosophy of the Hindus. We've never heard it. You know, big, big Christian scholars and intellectuals. And he spoke this horrible, atheistic, Mayavad philosophy. And they were shocked. They were disturbed. And they rejected it. They didn't like it. So that philosophy of India that came out this impersonal philosophy, it spread into literature and popular culture and to the minds of all living beings. So when you grow up and you're a teenager, you start discussing God with your friends and philosophy, you talk about this idea of impersonalism and, oh, spiritual life means to reject the material world. Let's go to the Himalayas and do some yoga meditation. This is the basic idea of impersonalism is renunciation or rejection of this material world. But this material world doesn't belong to you. You come into the world as a baby with nothing, and when you die, you take nothing with you, nothing. So nothing belongs to you. There's nothing to renounce. It's all Ishavasyamidam Sarvam, it's all Krishna's energy. So now, at this time in the world, Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's movement, Lord Chaitanya's movement, spreading all over the world. And gradually, these ideas are becoming into popular culture, into the minds and intellects all over the world. Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This material world is not false. It's not false, it's real. But it's Krishna's energy. Krishna's all spiritual, he's the supreme absolute truth. How can he create this matter? How does matter come from spirit? Prabhupada explains it very simply. Just like electrician, he has the art of electrics. So he can make the same energy as a fridge, cold fridge, or he can make a heater. Opposite. So Krishna's the supreme scientist, so he creates this material energy. But it's all his energy. It's one energy. It's only one energy. It's only one spiritual energy, but it acts differently according to our consciousness. Avijja Shakti. So this matter, this non-conscious energy is what we're all entrapped in. Yasya Samohita Jiva. We're jivas. We're also energy of God. We also belong to Krishna. But we're covered by matter. And because Ananda Maya Vyasat, because you want to enjoy, you know, the soul is by nature blissful. Bliss is, they asked Prabhupada, what's the meaning of life? He said, Ananda, bliss. This is the meaning of life. You see, if you go to the north of England, if you go to Yorkshire, and you walk in the village, on the high street in the morning, you walk your dog in the local park, and the sun is shining, everyone says good morning. You know, they don't do that in London. You get arrested if you say good morning to someone. But see, the nature is good morning. And if you drive a car down the English countryside in the lanes in the spring, you'll see the swifts. Swift is the best flying bird. It's who you see? The swallows and the swifts, right? And they play, they drive it, they fly in front of the car and they do all the tricks and change directions and they're enjoying. In Vrindavan, you see the hogs, stool-eating animal. The baby hogs, they're all rolling in the dust and enjoying, having fun, playing with each other. So the soul, it just wants bliss. It just wants happiness, enjoyment. It's a natural. You see it even in the animals. Bliss and affectionate relationships, all these things. So I know two devotees, I've spoken to two devotees, they preach online. And they say the atheists, they're so easy to defeat. Their philosophy is so easy. Because to believe that this perfect designed universe with all its perfect geometry and the movements of the planets, everything's so perfect, the microcosms, macrosystems, what do they call it? Ecosystems, they're all interdependent, you know? Like they introduce wolves into the Yellowstone Park in America. Why did they introduce the wolf? Because the deer ate everything. There was no plantation, no grass left, no plants. The deer became prolific and they just eat. They introduced a couple of wolves, all the plants start to grow again. Because the deer have to hide, they can't eat constantly. So this is part of the ecosystem. Anyway, my point is, the universe is perfectly created. Srinivas quoted from the Upanishad yesterday, Om Purnam Adha Purnam Adham Purnam Purnam Eva Shishyate. Prabhupada quoted this verse so often. That this world is perfectly complete and because it emanates from the supreme complete, he still remains complete. Prabhupada gives the idea, the understanding. The clouds come from the sun, right? But does the sun lose any potency because it's the clouds are coming? No, the sun remains perfectly complete. Or a tree gives fruits and leaves, but the tree remains standing there. So what was my point was, yes, the atheists. So the atheists are very, it's harder to believe in this world has no purpose, no design, no intelligent creator than it is to believe it just came from nothing. But the Mayavadi philosophers who use the Vedas and preach this impersonalist Mayavad philosophy, they are the lowest of all living entities, then the most dangerous. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says they're the most dangerous. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he delivered the Muslims. He delivered Jagai Mata, the most sinful materialists. But he was having some trouble with the Mayavadis. Eventually he went and defeated them. And he defeated them with this, Prabhupada says here, the devotee does not take he doesn't create perplexities. When Krishna says, I'm the source of everything, I'm all blissful, I am the Surida, friend of all living beings, it says here, Surida, the goodwill. Krishna has goodwill for all living entities. He's given us everything. I met one old friend the other day, I went to my hometown to see my mother. He said, I said, you're not worshipping Krishna. He said, why? Why do I have to worship? I said, you're breathing the air. He said, what does he do for me, Krishna? I said, you're breathing air. Where do you think the air comes from? Everything is given to us. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. The air we breathe, the senses we use, the earth we walk on. So Jiva Shakti, the Jiva, his business only is to find out that source, Janma Jasya Yataha. And if he consults the source of all knowledge, Vedic literature, which is the source of all the world's religions practically, Buddhism, Jainism, Mayavadi, Shiva, demigod worship, other Vaishnavism, all the religions, they come from India. So India is the supreme source of spiritual knowledge, and India means the Vedas. So in the Vedas, it says one should simply, like it says here, create harmony with the Lord. So it's a very simple thing. Just become a devotee of the Lord. Don't become anything else. Don't speculate. Jnana prayasa mudapasya namanta eva. Give up speculation and simply hear about Krishna more and more and more. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he talks about maya daksena suyate sacharacharam. I'm controlling everything. Riddhi sabhasya vistita, I'm living in everyone's heart. Yanta rudhaya maya, I'm controlling everyone's karma and destiny. Sabhasya chaham riddhi, I'm giving knowledge, forgetfulness, remembrance from within. Sabhasya vistita, riddhi sabhasya vistita. Jyoti samapitas jyoti khyanam. So this is Krishna. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. So you should become his devotee. And what kind of devotee? So you have to come up to second class devotee at least. This is the business of ISKCON. To make Madhyam Bhaktas. Madhyam Bhakta means that he is hearing. Krishna, God, is very difficult to understand. So you want to understand God, then you must hear. Yach chadadana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaye pashyanti atmani chatmanam bhaktya shruti grihitaya. This means that the devotees, everything we're reading, just like I spoke about this Vedanta, I hadn't finished what I was going to say, but just to follow Shankaracharya, you have to take sannyas before you can even sit in his class. You have to be sannyasi. Right? Now we all hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the author of the Vedas' mature commentary on all of his work. And we have we can't even pronounce the Sanskrit, we can't struggle to stay awake, but we are allowed to do it. You understand? It's highest thing, but we're allowed. And our problem is we're not taking it seriously. We're not even staying for class. Yeah, there's more people in Mangalati sometimes. More people in Damodarati, then more people come to see Krishna. So Prabhupada explains the third class devotee has very little taste to hear this spiritual subject matter. He doesn't like to hear. So if you want to become little more advanced than the normal common devotee, what is the prakriti bhaktya? What is the symptoms? He worships the deity in the temple. Then prakriti, what's the verse? Yeah. So what is the English? He worships the deity in the temple, then?
He doesn't see Krishna in the living entities.
He doesn't see Krishna in living beings. And he doesn't discriminate between one devotee and another. He sees big sannyasi, he did something, you know, whatever. You know, he's devotee. He doesn't understand that you can make advancement. He thinks everything's kind of equal, right?
He has enough faith in Shastra, he doesn't preach.
Doesn't have a spiritual master, something, right? So, Ishwara Tadineshu, I know the other one, Krishna Premi, Krishna Maitri Acharan, Balisheta Kripa Aradveshi Upakchan, Majam Bhakta Shuddha Bhakta Han, Krishna Nama Karana Ajan. That the Majam Bhakta, his main business is that he's qualified to chant the holy name of God. And even this, we are taking it cheaply. We are chanting, we're thinking of something else. We go in Harinam, we don't give full enthusiasm, we get distracted. Imanda Samanda Matayo, we are very fallen, Kali Yuga conditioned souls. But if we just take this seriously, this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. In the 11th canto, which is practically at the end of all, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, the Yogeshwaras, Yogeshwaras, yeah. So he speaks this verse, Krishna Vanam Tusa Krishna. Intelligent people in Kali Yuga, they just chant Hare Krishna. They don't speculate, they give up speculating and all this Vedic study and samskars and pujas and karma kanda and everything. They just chant Hare Krishna. And then he says a couple of verses later that all perfection, you'll get all perfection that you, that in such a yuga that they got in meditation, in ancient times when they did all these difficult things, you'll get the supreme all perfection, highest perfection, simply by this Hare Krishna. But you have to be attentive. You have to get past all the junk, all the mountain of rubbish stored in the mind. And how is this? With the lightning bolt of meditation on the lotus feet of Krishna. The mountain, the enemy of the mountain is the lightning bolt. It's the only thing that can take away a bit of the mountain. The mountain starts to, the rocks fall and gets a little holes in it. So, but you have to do it for a long time. This meditation on the lotus feet of Krishna. Through chanting Hare Krishna. So, na yatra vaikunta yata vipaga na sadava bhagavatasta dashraya na yatra yageshu makama hotsava sureshu lokopi na vaisa sevyatam. That the devotees, they're not interested to go even to the heavenly planets if there's no sankirtan. How can you live without this Madanga Kartal Sankirtan? You cannot. It's so blissful. It's full of ananda nectar. Nectar they don't even have in Vaikuntha, this Sankirtan. You understand this? Madanga, Kartal, dancing. It's not in Vaikuntha. The devotee doesn't even want to go to Vaikuntha. He wants only to go to Goloka Dham, to be with Krishna and dance in chant. This dancing and chanting. This is the process. But we have to just take it more seriously, over and over. Hare Krishna. So there was so many points in that. I've done what I could. And thank you very much. Hare Krishna, any questions, comments? Have 5 minutes. Jai. Prabhu.
Very popular. I've come here to the manor because I desire to be around devotees. Yeah. I see so many good qualities in them. Great. I don't have that desire for Krishna. So how can I... Do I get that desire from being around devotees?
Yes, exactly. Srila Prabhupada says, to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Means to take shelter of the pure devotees. You see? Same thing. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. You mentioned earlier that in Adi Shankaracharya's time, Buddha rejected the Vedas.
Yeah.
And I know, I learned from Sutta Prabhupada's class that as time evolves, there's a different requirement for progress in spirituality. But why did Buddha, being an incarnation of the Lord himself, reject the Vedas? What was the actual reason for that?
Because the culture at the time, they were doing a lot of animal sacrifice, which is recommended in the Vedas for material. So out of compassion for the animals, Krishna came as Buddha. And he was very attractive and he spoke sweet philosophy and bewildered the whole. But they stopped the animal sacrifice. So he saved the animals. Krishna's bijam, he's the father of all creatures. In the Srimad Bhagavatam second canto, there's a description of all the incarnations very briefly, and it mentions Lord Buddha comes in another Kali Yuga when there's some issues with interplanetary war, and he comes and helps to stop that. So, interplanetary war. So there's different incarnations, different pastimes.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Just wait. Sutapa can speak first, and then Mataji come.
Thank you, Adi Guru. I just had a question on. You quoted the Om Purnam verse that the material world is also complete, but then obviously we look at the world and there seems to be scarcity or different things. So is it that the world is still complete in the sense that it's meant to be like that to frustrate the living entities to go back? Or is it complete in the sense that it's complete, but because of our material approach to the world, we make it incomplete? Like, which one is it?
Yeah. Well, it's both, because they happen by Krishna's will. Just like this industrialization only was a couple of hundred years ago, right? So the whole world lived normally and naturally. But they were still in Maya then, So, and... inconceivably, Shankaracharya created an atheistic culture all over the world. And he was told to do that by Krishna. So it's all inconceivable. You can't understand the plan of the Lord. Bhishma Dev says that. If we try to understand it all, we're sitting here chanting Hare Krishna. We're fortunate, but we have to make others fortunate. I had a question in my mind... Lord, like you quoted that verse on Tribhuvanath's disappearance festival. Lord Chaitanya, Panchatapa, they didn't consider who was high, who was low. They just give Krishna consciousness to everyone. But yet in the Nectar Devotion, it says you can't take up Krishna consciousness unless you were doing it in a previous life. But then Prabhupada says, but by the strong preaching of a devotee, you can take it up. So... you're going to perplex your brain if you try to work it all out. But it's perfect and complete. And it's mismanagement that's caused all this. It's greed and mismanagement that's caused all these problems in the world. And also karma. There's people, a whole nation of people starving, a drought and no harvest. Then their karma. They were to take birth and suffer that. Everything is karma. So If you do some big sinful thing, then the karma has to get heavier and heavier as the future goes on. As people become more sinful, then the karmic reaction becomes more sinful. So the world just gets worse and worse. Hare Krishna. Matiji?
I'd like to ask a question.
Yes. Can you help us, Ami? Don't worry, 1 second. No. It's just the mic.
Thank you. Thank you for the wonderful class. I would like to ask, you did mention Lord Buddha rejected the Vedas due to him being compassionate. Am I right to assume that Lord Buddha did not reject the whole Vedas, just the part which was due to animal sacrifice? And the second question is based on that, because if that is then true, we still have a common ground to work with Mayavadis and attract them to Krishna consciousness. Am I right to assume that on that basis, that not the whole Vedas were rejected by Lord
No,
Buddha?
Actually, the whole Vedas were rejected. Oh. He. That's what was needed. You can't reject one part of the apple. You have to throw the whole thing away, right? To some degree, right? So he rejected all the Vedas. And the other thing is this common ground, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used the Vedas to convert the Mayavadis, yes. That is, we can do that if we're expert. Yes.
Thank you very much, thank you.
Yeah, just like everyone is practically a Mayavadi nowadays. So we're doing kirtan with them all. You know this, Kirtan London and all this. They're doing kirtan. So they get association of the devotees. And we're using yoga and Veda to promote our own propaganda. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Yes, Matiji?
We've had cold periods in the past, lots of ice, and we had warm periods also. Now we're going towards a warm period, the ice is melting. Is that mismanagement and karma, or is it just natural process? What would you say?
Personally, I think it's a divine arrangement. I don't think we can do anything about it. That's my personal opinion. I believe in plastic pollution. Obviously, we have to make the world clean. But I don't believe that man can affect the climate. That's my own opinion.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you very much for a brilliant class today.
Hare Krishna. Lalita, quickly.
Just a comment.
Yeah.
It says that this material world is falling.
Suffering, all suffering. So much
just
suffering.
Just to get us out of here.
Problem. Thank you. Yeah. The suffering is the friend. It's your friend. If there's no suffering, you never go back to the spiritual world. You'd think that this material happiness is great. Just like the demigods. They have no motivation to make spiritual advancement because they're jubilant. Everything's so nice. You know, they have no pollution in the heavenly planets. There's no plastic there. Everything, all their decoration is gold. Very nice. So distress is your friend because it forces you to look for God in your heart. Vishwanath Prabhu, last one. Hare Krishna.
I was wondering, this is a question to the any pandit here who knows. You know, every religion has some text that they resource their preaching scripture. On. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Christians, Bible, the Torah, the Quran. We have a Bhagavad Gita, the Vedas. The Buddhists, they reject the Veda, which means knowledge. What, I asked this question before, what kind of basis they have of knowledge, what books they read, what is their chief book, or do they just, you know, because there's 47 types of Buddhist, and many of them...
700 Protestants.
Many of them, they don't even understand the principle of Ahimsa, the mainstream ones.
Yeah, they're non-veg.
Yeah, so they tend it. I was actually interested to become a Buddhist before I became Hare Krishna, but there was nothing to read about, no books, nothing. So
I tell you one thing, related also to your question. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't discuss with the Buddhists. He wouldn't engage in any talk with them. He just ignored them. Eventually, he went and debated a little bit with one Buddhist. But beginning when he met them, he just said, no, you can't discuss anything with these people. At least the Mayavadis, they accept the Vedas. So there is some Buddhist texts. And there is some contemporary. I've just met someone who, you know, meet people interested in spiritual life. They have a big book on Buddhism at home, you know. So there is some Buddhist texts, but I don't know much about them. Anybody? Yes?
Like Siddhartha, what books was he preaching, and what text he had?
Yeah, that's right.
Dhammapada.
Okay, last question, go on.
Question was, as the soul sort of goes from birth to rebirth and the consciousness evolves, for a soul to take on, say, Buddhism in that lifetime,
we perceive it as
progress in their consciousness, but in a sense,
generally,
it's meant to. So, yeah, that was my question. Isn't it the other way around? If it's a rejection of the pure process, then they're going backwards, not forwards, isn't it?
You know, any little religion, introspection, spirituality, it's a little something, can be something good. We don't condemn it. We love all religions. Any faith in anything, and you trying something, any sincere person. They follow their scriptures. We like it. We encourage it. At least you're not being 100% materialist. Everyone has faith, you know, like, everyone's actually quite spiritual a lot of the time, you know. Every housewife, they're all Reiki and yoga, and they have the soul is naturally spiritual. Naturally. So we encourage any little thing and give them Bhagavad Gita. That's all.
Hare Krishna.
Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai.